Let's get back to the action. The Rooten Report presents Nothing But Net, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Nothing But Net. I'm Dave Rooten. We're brought to you, as always, by Duchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. Thanks to everybody at Duchess for their ongoing support. And it's Final Four time in the state tournament. We're down to four teams in each of the divisions, and the FCAC is well represented. First, just quickly on the girls' side, kudos to Greenwich girls and Staples girls in Division 1 and 2, respectively. They're going to be playing Monday and Tuesday. And we have two FCAC teams still alive, one that we expected, and one probably that's a little bit of a surprise after a crazy week, but we have Staples in Division 1 going to be playing Notre Dame Prep tomorrow night for a trip to Mohegan Sun. And then Tuesday night, the New Canaan Rams. What a crazy week for the Rams, and we're going to talk about that a lot over the next hour. But they're going to be playing Windsor, which should be in Division 1 and took out Fairfield Ludlow. And the Rams will be playing with house money. Got a good show joining us in a little bit. We're going to have New Canaan coach Danny Melzer. And we're also going to be joined by Trumbull coach Buddy Bray. The Eagles got knocked out Thursday night by Bunnell. I was there. Tried to have Buddy on all season, but they practiced normally during the time of our show. But I want to get him on, talk a little bit about the season, talk a little bit about coaching Sean Wilson. Joining me, as always, to break it all down, Mike Walsh. Mike, how you doing?
Good, Dave. Appreciate everything this year. And it's been a good year. And as you say, to have two teams in the Final Four, I think, is a big plus for the FCAC. And as you did just mention, the Staples, I think, was kind of expected. They had a tremendous year, obviously, winning the FCAC championship. I think they're, what, now 25-0 or 24-0. And, you know, and then New Canaan, who, in my opinion, has kind of overachieved a little bit, and a great job by Coach Melzer and his staff and his players. And obviously, we'll talk about that as we go forward.
And we were talking on my car ride up here, and I was prepping for the show this morning. And one commonality with the top five seeds from the FCAC playoffs that struck me is I don't think any of those five teams can really have any regret on what's happened this season. Maybe a minor disappointment here or there. You look at Staples. Staples has gone undefeated, won the FCAC title. I think they would be, you know, a little disappointed if they lose to Notre Dame Prep tomorrow night and don't get to Mohegan Sun, but that certainly would not tarnish their season if that were to happen. You look at Ridgefield. Ridgefield got to the FCAC championship game. We knew Staples was going to be there, so it was going to come down to who was going to play them. They got on the other side of the draw, made it there. They won a first-round game. I was up in Ridgefield for their game against Southington. And then they made it to play a really, really good West Haven team, the number two seed. And they hung in there. They were leading at halftime, and they were in the game to the last couple of minutes. You look at Trumbull, they probably have the most disappointments of any of the five. They started off 15-0, lost to Staples, had an 18-2 regular season. I'm sure they're a little disappointed that they did not win an FCAC tournament game. They lost to Stanford in the first round. I think they probably would have liked to have gone one more round in the state tournament, but they got knocked off by Bunnell the other night in the quarterfinals. And Bunnell's a really good team with Roddy Ricketts. I saw him in the fall on football season help take down Wilton in the state playoffs, and he got rid of he helped get rid of Trumbull, but that was not a bad loss for the Eagles. You go to Fairfield Ludlow. Fairfield Ludlow won a first-round game in the FCAC playoffs, and they won a really nice game in the Division II playoffs, and then they ran into Windsor, which, again, would be a high seed in Division I in a normal tournament circumstance. And then you got New Canaan, which maybe a little disappointed, did not win a first-round FCAC playoff game, but they played Ludlow in a pick 'em game. And they're at the Final Four playing with house money. So, Mike, I don't think any of those five teams, you know, Trumbull, maybe some would have liked to have a win here or there a little bit more. But all five teams have done what we expected of them to do. And I don't think any of those coaches a week from now are going to have any regrets.
No, I think you summed it up very well there, Dave. The teams, the five teams, really, I think, should be proud of themselves and their coaches. They did an excellent job all year long, and it's nice to have at least two of them going on and possibly getting to Mohegan Sun.
Now we got Notre Dame. I think we're going to spend a little bit more time on Division II than Division I today. You know, Staples, they play Manchester, and you know, everybody gets a bye, so I look at the second round as a first round, and they got to play an 0-20 team. They played a New London team in the quarterfinals that, in a top 16 team tournament, probably just misses the cut. At best, that's a first round game. So they, you know, Staples is out of Yellow Brick Road. They don't make their schedule. They just go out and beat who you put in front of them. And they have Notre Dame Prep, which, you know, if there was a betting line, Staples would be a slight favorite. Talking to people, and I want to get your opinion because you see Notre Dame Prep a little bit more just because of your prior relationship with Brian Krifcher, their coach. Pretty much most people think Staples is going to win, though I know a couple of people who think Notre Dame Prep has the edge.
Well, I think it's going to be a game that you know, is going to be decided by the defense, to be honest with you. I think both teams can put points on the board, and it's going to be a defensive struggle. And, you know, it is, as you say, it's a pick'em game, and I think that it's going to be one that whoever wins deserves to get to Mohegan Sun. And, of course, then I would have to say they're going to play Notre Dame of West Haven, which has already beaten West Haven three times this year. They are just a very, very good basketball team. But to get to Mohegan Sun, and they're both on, you know, whether it be Staples or Notre Dame, a Fairfield against, say, Notre Dame and West Haven, anything can happen. You never know, especially at Mohegan Sun in the finals in front of, like, you know, 10,000 people. It's going to be exciting, whoever gets there.
Yeah, Rutgers coach Dave Golcher, I remember talking with him at the beginning of the season. He basically said, you know, we want to win the FCAC championship. We want to try to get to the state final. And then everybody knows Notre Dame of West Haven is going to be a prohibitive favorite. Notre Dame of West Haven is to the state, sort of what Staples has been in the FCAC. And they'll take their best shot at them. And if they lose, it's been a really good season. And if they were to win, they would shock the state. What do you see? Again, I have not seen Notre Dame Prep at all. What do you see as being the keys to the game, and has Staples seen a team of this caliber yet?
Well, I to be honest with you, I'm not sure they have, but I know they played Malloy out of New York, and that's a pretty good team. So I think that in the first two games that they had in the quote Division I tournament, as you mentioned earlier, I don't think really tested them. Notre Dame will test them. They have two excellent guards, and they have a big guy inside, and they have quickness. They're aggressive. As I said, it should be a good game because they both play really good defense. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who can score on the other team, and I think that'll determine the success, who's going to win that game. Again, as I say, it's a toss-up, and I know they used to scrimmage each other every year. I don't know if they did this year or not, but it should be a great game, and I'm sure the fans will get their money's worth at Ward on I guess 6 o'clock start on Monday. I'm still trying to figure out how the CIAC figures these things out, but because the other Division One game is at 7:45 up in Hartford between two New Haven teams. At least these two teams are local and playing in a local atmosphere. But 6 o'clock, as somebody commented on Twitter, they said maybe the people in, they think the CIC thinks the people in Fairfield County don't work. But maybe you can tell me why they start at 6 o'clock. I know the idea is to get the kids home early.
I never asked anybody, but that's got to be the only reason I could think of is travel time and getting the kids home earlier for school the next day, because otherwise I'm not complaining. It's a lot better for me getting earlier games and getting stories up. So from a sports writer standpoint, hey, great. I'm happy if they play the games at 4 o'clock, but I'm not quite sure why they don't play at 7. And then not a big deal to me, but it's sort of strange that the Division I's going Friday, Monday, and Division II's going Thursday, Tuesday.
Yeah, I wish somebody would tell me that, too. It doesn't seem to make sense, but I'm sure they have a good reason. They have a good reason for everything else.
I have no idea if it's logistics, Jim. I'm not really quite sure the thinking. That one's not a major deal to me, but why don't we take a break, and when we come back, let's... I want to talk a little bit about New Canaan and Ludlow and Trumbull quickly as well. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Connecticut high school basketball lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Nothing But Net and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and let's get into Division II a little bit. I thought Monday night, maybe it was the best night for the FCAC all year. You had Trumbull boys holding off a little bit closer game maybe than expected and beating Glastonbury. And then you had a couple of really, really nice wins by Fairfield, Ludlow, and New Canaan. New Canaan playing a very, very good Platt team. Survived one of the worst calls you're ever going to see at the end of the game, and just some crazy stuff to advance with a 44-43 win. And then Fairfield Ludlow ended the game on a 20-4 run and got 41 points out of Carlos Dewecker, and came away and beat Hall. Oh. And then you go and then Thursday night, New Canaan again has to play a close double overtime game against Maloney and comes away with a 3-point win. And after Danny survived all the calls the other night, in the celebration after, and I'll talk about it, got doused with water and inadvertently got struck with a bottle and ended up taking 17 small stitches. I don't know what a small stitch is. He can explain that, but what a week for the Rams.
No, it was as you said, Monday was a great night for the FCAC, and as the week went on, it was a great week for the New Canaan Rams. I really think that, you said in the beginning of the year, and I felt the same way, that they were a good team, but they learned how to win as the season went on. They won a lot of close games in the FCAC, games in which they were trailing. They came back and, able to beat McMahon, I think, Bashik with another one, even though that's not in the league. The game that maybe gave them most confidence, when they lost, when they played Ludlow the second time, after having gotten beat pretty soundly the first time, they came back and almost won. They had a shot at the buzzer to win it. But they have the one ingredient that I think is really, really important on a good team to win a close game, and that's a guy you can go to and count on, and Henry Chandra. I don't think that people... And I think you said this, give this kid enough credit. I mean, against Maloney, he had 30 points, but he had some really big shots that he knocked down. I think he had 5 threes in the game. And the same thing against Platt. He had 25, I think, against Platt, which was, as you mentioned, a strange game. Great defense by New Canaan and also by Platt. And it came down to the end where... New Canaan had the lead, and they were called an intentional foul. Really, what the kid from New Canaan was trying to do, just stop the clock, etc. But and they had a foul to give, I think.
They had a foul to give. Chandra made 2 foul shots to give them the 1-point lead with 9.9 seconds, and then with 4-point, I forget what it was. They fouled out of a foul to give, and they get called for an intentional foul. If you want to go letter by the law, I put something on Twitter about how, you know, one of the worst calls you'll ever see, and it was because that never, never, never gets called in that situation. Yeah, if you want to say letter by the law, it's an intentional foul, but it's a foul you have to give. Happens every game a couple of times. First time I've ever seen it called. And then, well, to compound that, Plott puts the wrong player on the foul line. He makes a shot. After Danny keeps complaining about it, contesting it, the referees take the point off the board. I don't know if you're allowed to take a point off the board. That one I don't know. They put the right kid on the kid who's supposed to be shooting on the line. He misses two shots. And then New Canaan, good defense, forces Plott to put up an air ball. Final shot, game-winning shot at the game. So I've never seen anything like that. But, yeah, to piggyback on, and I was going to get to Henry Chandra, and I actually just texted him right before the show because there will be a Henry Chandra overdue story on him on Wednesday regardless. But he's been the best player in the FCAC the last couple of weeks. And the best player maybe that we don't talk about as much. And, you know, we talk about Sean Wilson, Sam Klocko, Jay Genova, and all three of them deserve everything they've gotten. But Henry Chandra's really, really come on this year, second half of the season. Last five games, he's averaging 22.4 points and 6 rebounds and making 48% of his shots. Last 10 games, 18-6 and 6 rebounds. And for the year, he's averaging 17 points. He's just become a really, really good go-to leader and somebody, yes, somebody New Canaan can count on. And he's doing for them what the three players I just mentioned are doing for their teams, what Carlo Noecker did for Ludlow. And, you know, You need to have a run like this. You need to have a leader to kind of set the tone, and that's the role he's played.
Well, you need a clutch player that comes through in crunch time, and Henry Chandra certainly is that. I mean, if you look at a couple of those games there where, you know, I think Danny, by the way, and I, you know, I mean, everybody at the FCAC is pretty good with this, but I think Danny Melzer's teams execute out-of-bounds plays better than probably anybody, you know, and that's really important. I always felt that, you know, out of bounds plays win your games, and you know, his teams execute them so well, and right now a lot of them are set up for Henry Chandra, and you know, he made a step back three against Maloney, which was huge. I think it tied the game, and you know, that was a back and forth game. That was, their games have been really, really great to watch, especially Plott and Maloney. And, you know, I think that all comes from the FCAC, as I said before, where he has some close games and had to win them and come from behind. And they learn and they get confidence. And, you know, they weren't disappointed when they were down and their heads didn't go down when they were getting beat by Maloney or even Plott at the end there. And, even with that technical foul that shouldn't have been called, you know, they didn't put their head down. They just went out and they played, and, you know, they ended up winning. And that's how you win. And as you said before, a leader like Chandra is the kind of guy that makes a team win.
It's been a team effort, but you know what? Danny Melzer's just become one of the best coaches, not just in the league and in the state. I was thinking about this a little bit in a conversation I had with him yesterday, and during the season, he has some of the best insights in terms of just talking about the league, talking about his team. We've had some talks about how you pick the player of the year and what you look for, and his insights are just really good. And it's been fun. You know, one of the things about being around as long as I have is seeing a lot of good athletes I covered become really good coaches. You know, I think back to my Stanford Advocate days when Danny was an athlete at Stanford High, and he was a really, really good basketball player on some good teams. And then, you know, talk about a clutch performer. I saw him win a 1-0 state championship baseball game. He was the pitcher when they beat Trumbull. And one of the guys who decided to, you know, make a career out of coaching, and right now he's also becoming an administrator, and I suspect he's going to be an athletic director somewhere in the not too distant future, and he will be an outstanding one if that's the case. But he's just really become a, you know, I have a lot of respect from having watched him come full circle. And you think about some of the people who he got to play for in Stanford, like Jim Moriarty and Bobby Augustine, and you know, you coach kids. I don't know that you really had too many that came back into coaching, but it's got to be a source of pride to coach players like this, and then watch them do what they're doing from a coaching standpoint.
Well, I had a little early. Indication of how Danny was going to be as a player. He was an older brother, Michael, that played Little League baseball for me, and Danny was like a little 6 or 7 year old that hung around the practices. And, you know, only thing I remember, he had to be home by 7:30 to get to bed. But he loved the game, and he grew. You talk about baseball, he had one of the best curveballs I've seen, even from Little League, and that's what won the state tournament for him, I think, when they beat Trumbull. And he's developed that love of sports, through coaching and basketball, especially. And you're, like you say, he's got a lot of insights, and he takes care of the little things that wins games, and, teaches the fundamentals the way it should be taught. And, and he does a great job. And I congratulate him on getting to the semis, and wish him all the best against Windsor. If anybody can beat Windsor, slay Goliath, it might be an Canadian team with a Henry Chandra, and then, as you say, he has a lot of people around him. I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully he goes up there and shocks the world.
And if he doesn't, like I said, Ludlow and New Canaan were two of the more even teams in the league. You know, I think I go Staples, then Ridgefield, Trumbull similar, and New Canaan, Ludlow similar. And they lost a 50-50 type game in the FCAC, but they've had this run, and they've sort of captivated the FCAC basketball world with what they're doing. But you know, we're heaping all this praise on Danny. We'll let him have his own say. He's going to join us on the other side. We're going to take a break now. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Expert analysis on all things high school basketball. You're listening to Nothing But Net with Dave Rudin. Live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back. We've been talking a lot of New Canaan basketball so far in the show, and we're going to continue to do so. I don't know how his heart is from Monday or how his head is from Thursday, but we're going to find out. Joining us right now, Rams coach Danny Melzer. Danny, how are your heart and your head?
They're both doing great. Thanks for having me on. I was listening to you guys while we were waiting, and I just want to thank both of you guys for your kind words. I was blushing the whole time, but it was very nice of you guys. I've known both of you for a long time. Coach Walsh, you'll be happy to know I go to bed a little bit later than 7:30 now, but as I get older, I'm getting closer to going back to 7:30. So, it's my heart and my head and my eye and everything are all good. It's a great time to be playing basketball. You know, we're one of very few teams left that are playing basketball. And, you know, as excited as we are to be playing in the semifinals, I think what the kids are most excited about, what the coaches are most excited about, is that we get to spend more time together. You know, once the season ends, we won't see each other as much, but it's just been so much fun being around each other and, building the family that we've built. And we're just having a great time doing it.
Danny, just we won't spend a lot of time, but it's just so unusual. Yeah, your team just shows so much heart and went in a double overtime game. And then I'll let you talk about what happened with the 17. You called them small stitches. I don't know what a small stitch is.
To be honest, I'm not even really sure either, but I went to a plastic surgeon because it was on my face. And so he told me at the end that he put in 17 tiny stitches. So, yeah, my eye, right above my eye, right around my eyebrow, got split open during the celebration accidentally. And doctor took good care of me and said I'll be just as ugly as I was before this happened. So we'll be all good.
No comment. I wasn't gonna go there. And and then we don't have to get controversial or anything, but that was a crazy ending on a call that I've never seen happen before. When your team's playing so hard, had led the whole way, and then you get put in that kind of situation, what's going through your mind?
Listen, I didn't agree with the call, obviously. I didn't think that's something you that kind of call you can make at that point in the game. To your point, I've never seen it happen before. But then once they decided to make the call, which they didn't make initially, they just called it a regular foul initially. But once they decided to make an intentional foul,
Question. They made it an intentional foul, but the wrong guy went to the free throw line. Did you call their attention to that, or they just figured it out, or what happened after the guy made the free throw?
I think we're having a problem with Danny's connection right now. Hey, Danny, I'm not sure what's
Are
going
you
on.
There?
Danny, can you call back in? I'm not sure what's going on. We have a problem with his connection right now. We've lost Danny for a second. Hopefully we can get him back here. But yeah, I'm just guessing he was. I'm just guessing he was trying to. He was. I mean, you could see he was talking to the officials the whole time. Oh, Danny,
say that again.
Okay, sorry. We got. Coach wanted to know. Were you the one who brought to the officials' attention the wrong guy on the line?
I was, but my assistant coaches were the ones that were telling me that. So I got to give them all the credit for realizing that. I was so caught up in the intentional foul part that I lost sight of who the foul was on. But my assistants pointed it out, and then I went to the refs. And, thankfully they spoke about it and met about it and put the right guy on the foul line.
Yes, sir.
And the wrong guy made the foul shot, correct?
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. He did.
I've never seen a point taken off the board either. So,
if you watch it carefully, when the referee passed the ball to the wrong shooter, I was yelling, that's the wrong shooter, that's the wrong shooter. And he hesitated when he passed the ball to the shooter. But then he let him shoot it, and he made it. And then the refs reconvened and talked and then put the right guy on the free throw line. So, yeah, I've never seen anything like it. It was a very bizarre ending. I feel really badly for the foul shooter who missed both free throws. He's a really good player too. But ultimately, they got the right guy on the line, and the basketball gods had our back that night.
What's it say about your team? You survived that kind of ending, and credit to your defense, because people forget you also had to make a stop after that play. And your defense was suffocating. And then you come back and you're in a wild game with Maloney, a double overtime game that could go either way. Your guys hold on. I know you're not surprised at all that your team is still playing, but what does it say about the heart of your kids?
Yeah, it says a whole lot. You guys talked about it a little bit, how many close games we've been in. We've won at the buzzer. We've lost at the buzzer. When you play in the FCAC and you play a tough game every single night, this is the best part about playing in the FCAC. Prepares you for, playoff games. And our kids have fought through adversity all year. We began the year with adversity, losing a potential 3-year starter to an injury in the football state championship. So we've been battling through adversity all year. We've been down double digits multiple times in the fourth quarter. Against Maloney, we were down 8 with 3 minutes to go. Ludlow, we were down 14 and had a shot at the buzzer. So these kids have shown incredible heart all year. And it really, and you guys talked about it, really starts with our leadership with Henry Chandra and Colin McKiernan. These guys have so much heart and so much pride in winning and doing the right things on the court that they lead by example, and then all our kids follow that example. And, I couldn't be more proud as a coach to see them grow, both of them, as leaders and captains this year.
Talk a little bit about Henry. Coach and I talked a bunch about him. And you and I talked about him yesterday, and you said you don't know that you've coached a player that during the course of his career has improved as much as Henry has, and he's just an elite player right now.
Yeah, you know, his improvement is incredible. You know, he went from, you know, a starter on the freshman team that, you know, played freshman basketball and that was it, no JV or anything as a freshman. And then all of a sudden, from freshman year to sophomore year, he built himself into a starter for the varsity team. You know, sophomore year is always a struggle for kids. So he had some ups and downs his sophomore year, but continued to work, got better, and came back junior year to be, you know, our leading scorer last year and had a really good year. But he wasn't quite as efficient as, you know, we'd like him to be. And then this year that all changed. He's one of the more efficient players I've coached in my, you know, 20-something years of basketball. He, you know, a lot of guys, when they score a lot of points, take a lot of shots and take a lot of bad shots. Now, they make some of those bad shots, but they take a lot of bad ones. And he really doesn't do that. You know, he doesn't force the game to come to him. He shares the ball. He's a great screener, a very, very underrated part of his game. He's an excellent screener, great rebounder. You know, he's you know, you guys are talking, saying a lot of really good things about him, and he deserves it. You know, he's had a great year, and he's playing his best basketball at the most important time of the year.
Mike, jump in.
No, I agree with you, and I think that, as you said, I mean, he can step and hit the three-point shot. He can get to the basket. He reads situations very, very well, and, you know, that's a credit to him. And he, as you say, he rebounds, and, you know, he's doing it all for you, and he's doing it at the most important times when you really need him to step up, because I always felt if you're going to win at any level of basketball, you need the guy, a go-to guy. And Chandler certainly is the go-to guy for you this year, and he's done an excellent job. And, you know, kudos to him for working hard and becoming the kind of player that he is.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And here's the other thing, though. As good as he's been, you know, in all these close games that we've had, he hasn't been the only one that has made big shots. You know, Dallas George has made some huge shots. Will Sapione made a huge shot against Platt and Maloney. John Nash pointed out the other night that five guys scored in double overtime. I mean, that's rare. So, you know, while he deserves, you know, all the credit he's getting, it's certainly not a one-man show. We've had guys step in all year and make big shots. Colin McKiernan's made some big shots. Blue made a huge shot against Platt. So, you know, it's Chandra's been our best player, but he has not by any means been our only player. We've gotten contributions from everyone. And it's, you know, that's as a coach, you love to see that.
Yeah, he's. I think he's been playing so well, it's kind of overshadowed. But really, you don't get this far riding one player. It's been the whole team. You know, obviously, you're going to be a prohibitive underdog on Tuesday night against the team that should be a high seed in Division One, not Division Two. What kind of approach do you take with your players when nobody thinks outside of them that they're going to win the game?
Yeah, listen, I think everyone knows we're an underdog. I think we know that too. But the only way we're going to beat them is if we believe we can beat them. And we do. The coaches do. The players do. We understand we're going to have to play well. We understand that they're a really good team. But underdogs win sometimes too. You know, like it's not the favorite doesn't always win in sports. That's the great thing about sports. So, you know, we're going to go in there and leave everything we have out on the court and go in with a good game plan and hope that we can execute it well. And we believe we can win the game. You know, we understand that we have a tall task ahead of us, but we understood that going into Platt and going into Maloney. You know, it's the state playoffs. Everybody's good. So, you know, we've got to play our best basketball, and we're prepared to do that.
Well, Danny, just a tremendous job. It's been a lot of fun to watch. You've done a great job there. You got to do it a couple of years ago in Division IV going to the state title. So congratulations on everything you've done. And, you know, just good luck to you and your guys. And just let it all hang out and see what happens on Tuesday night. And thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Coach.
All right. Good luck, Danny. That was New Canaan Coach Danny Melzer. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Trumbull's Buddy Bray is going to join us. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school basketball. It's Nothing But Net with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to go from one elite FCAC coach to another. Somebody I've wanted to have on all season, and unfortunately, scheduling conflicts because a lot of teams practice while we're on the air. But I saw him after their loss Thursday night, and I wanted to at least get him on for a couple minutes to talk about what's been a really good season, and that's Trumbull coach Buddy Bray. Buddy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing okay. You know, probably maybe a win here, a win there that you'd like to have the opportunity to get back. But I can't imagine with a 20-5 record, the regular season that you had going 18-2, finishing second to Staples, that there are a lot of disappointments for you.
No, really. There was a lot of upside to the season. That ranking in the game time and some first for us, 15-0 at one point. The high ranking in Division II, being the second ranked team. So there was a lot of positives to walk away with, some very good players, some good kids this year. And, overall, yes, pleased with the season, but certainly, as you had mentioned, some disappointment in the FCAC playoff against Stanford, and then that tough game the other night with Bunnell. So, yeah, I think the kids were disappointed because we put in a lot of hard work, and some of the kids have been with me since freshman year on the varsity. It took us a long time to build this, and school like ours, you got to get them when they're really young and build them, and hopefully they connect and the chemistry is there. And that happened this year and at the end of last year. So proud of this group, going to miss them moving forward, and time to get back to work next year, start rebuilding.
Now, Stratford is an excellent team. They're going to be dangerous from here on in. What happened the other night? What do you wish that you had done better in the game?
I didn't get off to a very good start. I think the we played in some very big crowds this year, and I think it got a little bit into us. We didn't get off that good start, missed some early free throws, didn't get the game going and the pace of the game going the way we needed it to. And had a special player in Ricketts who got going. Looking back at it, I think some better choices with the basketball, some shot selection, defend it, rebound. They were big, a lot taller than us as well, stronger. So I think those things kind of took over. But proud of the way the kids came back in the fourth quarter, made a run at it, showed what kind of heart we had with this group all year long.
Mike, jump in.
Well, I
Coach
just
Walsh, how are you? Well, the legend, Coach Walsh. How are you?
Yeah, right. No. You make me. I think you played against me when I was coaching, but that's how old I am. But I thought this year you did an excellent job with this team. You brought them together, and had the great leader in Sean Wilson. And it's not easy sometimes to develop a team, but I thought you did the best coaching job that maybe you've done. I can't say ever, because you've done some great coaching jobs. So you're the dean of coaches in the SEAC now. And
getting up there, Coach. Yeah. Getting up there for sure.
How good was it to coach a kid like Sean Wilson?
Stole my thunder there.
Just really. He's been just super. Like, he's just done everything that you could ask as a coach. And then, a top student, just a really great teammate. It goes on and on with Sean. I think people realize that now. I just gave him credit for coming back, being so loyal to our program. A lot of kids just don't trust the process anymore. And Sean did. He wanted to play for us. He wanted to play for his coaching staff. He wanted to be with his friends. An excellent student, and really, teachers, some of the letters that I've gotten regarding Sean being such a role model. So it goes on and on with Sean. And we were really, we had some great seniors. You know, we had 8 seniors this year. So this group really wanted it. It was disappointing, of course, Coach. But Sean held his head up high and took the responsibilities of being a great leader, you know, knowing the basketball had to go through him. And we just asked an awful lot of him, and he answered it all the time. So I give the kid a lot of credit. You know, very mature beyond his years, for sure.
Yeah, how much fun is it to get an opportunity to coach someone like Sean? And I had him on earlier, and I'm glad I did, because you know better than anybody, and I've got to see it a lot. He's a better person than he is a basketball player, and he's the 2-time FCAC Player of the Year.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the coaches recognizing. You know, I didn't put him up for all defense, but he was over 30 blocks as a guard. And, I mean, you can't find big men in our league that had 30 blocks. I mean, some of his timing and blocks were just, like, not noticed. And at the end of the year, we were counting them up. It was like, wow, you know, 22 points a game, you know, 3.5 assists, almost 8 rebounds a game. So he was just a really complete player and just did everything for us. Just filled up the stat sheet every night. But, yes, you know, I'm just very happy for him. He was able to stay healthy, have a great career, 1,000-point scorer. Going on to bigger things, probably to prep school. But we'll see how that shakes out over the next couple of months.
Union, go to Union.
can I ask you?
Sean Wilson and Jack Pless are together.
Yeah.
How many years have you been in the FCAC as you were the head coach?
The head coach is 36, so, yeah.
36. I only made it to 39, and then I did the girls' year, so I count 40. But it doesn't get old, though. I mean, really, I miss it, to be honest with you. And you know, I'm sure that when you do decide to step down, that you'll miss it too. But you know, now is the time to develop the next group of guys going up, right?
Yeah. No, we got a nice group coming in, and. Our JVs were 17-1, had a very nice season starting to come together under Johnny Capullo. Did a great job in them this year. But, yeah, we do have some kids moving up next year. We got a nice group coming in, and we'll see what happens, Coach Walsh. I agree with you. You know, not getting any younger, so the energy level, you know, trying to get some rest here in the offseason. Baseball starts Monday, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you got to go right into baseball. But, best of luck getting that group ready to play a Division One tournament schedule next year.
We'll be Division Two for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever happens, buddy. I wanted to make sure I had you on for a couple of minutes here today. Just we've wanted to have you on all season.
Thank you.
A great job as always, and thanks for joining us. I'll see you on the baseball diamond real soon.
Thank you very much, Dave, and Coach Walsh, the legend.
All the best, really.
All the best, Coach. All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Okay, that was Trumbull Coach Buddy Bray. And, Mike, let's just real quickly finish up here. Next week, I'm guessing, we'll see what happens if the Rams shock the world. If Staples wins tomorrow night, I would think we would have a Saturday night showcase game and a lot more to talk about next Sunday.
Sounds, looking forward to it. You know, I'd like to see the girls win, and you know, I'd like to see success for the two teams from the FCAC in the Division One and Two tournament.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool seeing Westport really becoming a basketball town. Wasn't long ago you'd never think about Westport boys and girls both in the Final Four. And I remember last year, hopefully it doesn't happen to them, but Staples' season ended at Fairfield Ward last year against St. Bernard. And it was to see all the youth basketball players and everybody that was out there was sort of a celebration of Westport basketball. I'm sure that will be the same again tomorrow night. Coach, good show. We'll do this again next week.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, that was Nothing But Net, brought to you by Duchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. Thanks to Danny Melzer, Buddy Bray, producer Isabella Gatos. Have a good week, everybody.